2 Corinthians chapter 4, please, this morning in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin our reading together there in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Good morning. Welcome to all who are here, especially again this morning, those that are visiting with us. We are encouraged by you being with us this morning. Surely glad that you are with us today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, Saints at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, Therefore, Paul says, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, says Paul, verse 5, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. It is this God who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in fallible men, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but if the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Apostle Paul cites in verse 1, and again in verse 16, the language, we will not lose heart. The Apostle Paul faced moments in his life where he was distressed. He cites such instances, even in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, while not being specific, just again making the point. He had not been abandoned by his God. He had been on multiple occasions strengthened and thereby delivered. He would say on other occasions, God has considered me faithful. It's by the power of God, by favor from God, strength given to me by God, that I've been enabled to do what God has called me and asked me to do, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul recognized on several occasions that he had, by the grace of God, been delivered from distress. And Paul said, I will not lose heart. While there are many times in my life, many occasions that have come into my life that had brought me a moment of despair and a semblance of frustration and discouragement, Paul said, I will not continue. I will overcome. I will continue in the face of duty to do my God-given duty. I will not lose heart. And Paul's message is for the saints at Corinth that they also not lose heart. My point this morning is not to try to get specific with regards to the things that we face in this life that tempt us to lose heart, to throw in the towel, to quit. While we have moments of despair and while we face distressful and distressing days, we can and we must overcome. But when I think about how it related to the Apostle Paul, language like in chapter 1, as he would write to the Corinthians, he would say he was burdened beyond measure, even to the point where he despaired of his life. I have not faced that. When Paul would say he was hard-pressed on every side, but specifically in chapter 11, he would talk about being beaten with rods. I have not faced that. Paul would talk about being stoned because of the gospel that he preached and the Jesus whom he called Lord. Paul was stoned and left to die. I have not faced that. Shipwreck. Going without food to eat and water to drink. I have not faced that. But I have faced, and you have faced, moments of despair. Where did Paul find his strength? Was Paul just trying to be a, quote, motivational speaker? To get people temporarily motivated up to a point, but maybe in a week or a month, they would go back to that same pit and stay put in that pit? Is Paul just seeing himself as a motivational speaker? Surely not. But where did Paul get his strength? How could Paul, when he faced moments of great despair, how could Paul rise up and continue to do his duty? Did he have an edge? Was he just superhuman? Was he just that character in the Bible that we read about? Every once in a while we say, okay, I can relate to that character, I can relate to... But this character, I can't do what he did. I can't think the way he thought. Is that the occasion? Surely we wouldn't say that. And Paul, yet at the end of his life, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I've kept the faith. Paul said, I fought a fight. It was the right fight. I finished my course. And my course may not be your course, but at least I finished. I was a finisher. Paul said, you be a finisher. And then Paul said, the crown that's laid up for me and reserved for me, that crown is also reserved for you. And there were different periods in Paul's life, if you'll pardon my terminology. I think what Paul was saying to his audiences, his crowds, the people who wanted to do right and wanted to overcome, I think Paul on several occasions would say something to the effect, I did it and you can do it too. I want to make 3 points this morning. Paul didn't give up and we must not give up. Again, what Paul says to these Corinthians. Paul says, I have this ministry that has been given to me by God. Paul used language like, again, in chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. I'm impressed by that language, as we have received mercy. Paul recognized, again, some of the things that he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, how God had considered him faithful, putting him in the ministry. I cannot say that in the same way that the Apostle Paul said that. And what I mean by that is God, Paul said God had chosen him because the Lord Jesus said this to Paul, chosen him before he was born to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, Paul exercised his will in the matter, but he was a chosen vessel. And Paul was making the point that God has demonstrated through Jesus Christ His patience and His long-suffering nature. He was merciful, Paul said, to me, counting me faithful, putting me in the ministry. And for that reason, I will be faithful to what He has called me to do. What I'm saying about that, ladies and gentlemen, is surely all of us in Jesus Christ would acknowledge that God has been merciful to us. God has granted me and given me mercy. God in my life has shown me favor on many occasions. He has shown Himself to be strong. Any good thing you see in me, anything worthy of imitation in me, it's a result of God working through me. I don't get the glory. I don't want it. But Paul said, I'm going to stay on task and fulfill my ministry because I have never forgotten the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. That's the strength that enables me to stay on task. And the point I'm making is the way in which you see your ministry will determine how well you fulfill it. Your ministry may not be that of the Apostle Paul's. But all of us have a ministry. All of us are to see ourselves in Jesus Christ as servants, fulfilling our duty and responsibility through whatever God gives us, to whatever measure He gives it to us. We do the very best we can to fulfill that ministry. In raising your children to serve the Lord, fulfill that ministry. And there are things that come against you. There are situations that come into your life. And you are discouraged. You are distressed. You're wondering, can I be faithful to this task? Especially those at times who feel like they're left alone to do it. Single moms. And even single dads. But you've been given a ministry. God will not abandon you. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. But it must be a determination of your will to stay faithful to that ministry. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't quit. Maybe your ministry is to encourage or to train, to equip or to mentor someone to do either what you're doing or something else in service to God. They need your help. They want your help. And you understand you're the one to give the help. Don't quit and throw in the towel. There will be moments in your life that you're scratching your head wondering, am I making a difference? Is it really mattering? I've been at it for 3 weeks. I've been at it for 3 months. I've been at it for 3 years. Are we getting anywhere? And I will add this. You may never live to see the fruit that's been born as a result of your ministry, but don't quit. Praying fervently for others. Visiting the sick. Comforting those in need. Where did we get the idea? Where did I get the idea that enthusiasm for a task would return if I just stopped doing the task? Paul said, I have received this ministry. And God has been merciful to me. God will empower me. I will not quit. But not only Paul said, I have received a ministry. Paul said, I have this message to preach. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of Christ, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, Paul says, but we preach Jesus Christ as the Lord. Paul recognized that his message that he was preaching had to do with Jesus as the Christ. Jesus as Lord. Paul understood that that message that he had been given by God was a message to be handled accurately, was never to be preached deceitfully. And Paul never did use deception. Paul never tried to bring others to Christ who did not love Christ. Paul was not interested in trying to preach a message to those to respond to the grace of God who were not first convinced that they were in need of God's cleansing power. Sometimes, maybe unintentionally, we can be guilty of trying to manipulate and coerce people into doing what they don't really want to do. Paul said we must not handle the message of God deceitfully. Paul said, I believe, and therefore I speak. Paul felt compelled to speak because of the strength of his faith. When you believe in something so strongly, when you believe in someone so deeply, doesn't it compel you to speak? Doesn't it motivate you to some particular action? Paul said, with the same spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4, 13 and 14, we also believe, and so therefore we speak, because we know, says Paul, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. But Paul said, we do not preach ourselves. This message that God has entrusted to us, fallible men, is a message that He asks that we take to others. My passion for that message, my confidence in that message, and its power to save will be determined in large measure with regards to the manner in which I deliver it. Am I sharing it with others? Paul said, I will not lose heart because I have this ministry. I will not lose heart because I have this message. And number three, Paul said, I will not lose heart because I understand that I have a mansion in glory. Again, therefore, we will not lose heart. Though our outward man, verse 16, is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The outward man is decaying. The outward man, the outward you, who is not the real you, that temporary body, that tabernacle that you have, that gets older. It gets weaker. It's decaying. But the real you, the inner man, that part of you is being renewed day by day. Paul would speak about our light affliction. And in the context of Paul's life, it was even being stoned and left to die. But he said, our light affliction, it's only temporary. Whatever God allows into your life and whatever comes into your life that creates the times of despair and the moments of doubt and discouragement, it's only temporary. It's working for us, Paul said, a far more eternal, exceeding weight of glory. And we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are only temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. And then Paul would speak about a building that we have from God. He would speak of it again in language in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, for we know. We know that we have this building from God. It's a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know. We sing songs in our churches like, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe, and a crown. We sing songs like, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Our brother read to us from Romans chapter 8. And in the language of Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, as you were impressed this morning, makes the point that we are more than conquerors through Him, Christ, who loves us. Paul would say, I reckon that the sufferings of this present age, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. But still we have moments of doubt and despair. And in those times of doubt and despair, in those moments where you're hurting, whether you're hurting physically, whether you're hurting mentally, in those times in your life, if you're like me, you long for heaven all the more. You think about, again, one of the words of the songwriter that we've sung in our churches for years, "My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay." That's not, I don't want to stay here. This is not my home. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. Though some may live and some may dwell where the doubts and fears abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I've sung that for years. Is your aim higher ground? Is that really your aim, your goal? Martin Luther, theology aside, Luther, at times, his theology, I believe, was flawed. And we already talked about Paul's point in his message. It was not to be filled with deceit or error. But Martin Luther, I am told, faced low points in his life. In fact, one writing about Martin Luther referred to moments in his life where they said, and I quote, "Luther was in a funk." It was driving his wife crazy. It says, one day Luther came down to breakfast and he was dressed in funeral garb, all in black. Wife asked him, "Who died?" And Luther said, "God died." She responded, "God's not dead. Luther, why are you living and acting like He has?" When I first read that, I thought, well, man, have I ever lived and acted like God is dead? I have. Maybe you have too. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. My point is not to go after you. My point is to simply have us to think about what I believe we already know, that so much of life is simply a matter of perspective and faith. None of us here would say God is dead. All of us would surely say God is alive. But because God is alive and because we acknowledge the truth that He is sovereign, does not mean that we will not suffer. Does not mean that we will live life without hurts and disappointments. Because we understand that we live in a fallen world. Sometimes we blame God, sometimes we blame others, sometimes we make excuses. Sometimes we keep living in the past rather than trying to overcome our past one day at a time. Why would the Apostle Paul speak about some of these things and use this language if Christians in the first century and also Christians in the 21st century didn't sometimes have moments in their life where they were living and acting as though God were dead? You have a ministry. You have a job that God has given you to do that perhaps you can do it like no other. Don't stop believing in God. Don't stop trusting in God that He will show Himself strong, that He will use you and work through you to accomplish His intended good through you. But you must not quit. The message that all of us are to preach, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saved me and Jesus can save you. No matter what your sin, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, if you will do what others have done, if you will do what I did in repentance and in faith, and coming to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, I cannot save myself, but I believe You are who You said You were, the Christ of God. And I believe in the power of Your blood. And I believe in You that You will save me of my sins." Don't ever doubt the power of the gospel and the power of God working through your mouth to help bring others to faith. He saved you, didn't He? And then in times of our life when our perspective is off, when we get into the pit, when we find ourselves at a low point, God hasn't done us wrong. God hasn't stopped loving us. God will not abandon us. Go back to what we know and who we know. For I know, said the Apostle Paul, in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until that day. Paul was forever saying, no matter what comes in my life or comes against me in this life, what I know is God is for me. And if God is for us, Romans chapter 8, who can be against us? And so what's Satan trying to do to you? What's the God of this world trying to do to you? To blind your perspective, to close your mind, to put a shell over your heart so that you get to a point where you throw in the towel. I can't answer that for you. But what I can say is what the Apostle Paul said. Satan's after your soul. And therefore, we will not lose heart. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, do not believe the lies of Satan. Do not believe that God doesn't love you. That is a lie. Do not believe that God can't save you because your sins are so heinous and your sins are so far removed from the mercy and the grace of God and the power of Jesus' blood to cleanse you. Do not believe that. That's a lie. Jesus died for you. God loves you. The power of the grace of God, the power and the message of the gospel, if you will respond in faith, repenting of your sins, God will save you. But you must do what those in the first century did. You must do what the Apostle Paul himself did. And you must be immersed in water. You must be baptized to receive the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're here this morning as a child of God who's fallen from grace, and when you went into the pit of despair and discouragement, you've stayed there. And as a result of staying there, you've questioned the love of God and the power of God. And in fact, to the point that you've ceased serving God and started serving yourself. And ceased living a life of righteousness before God. God be thanked that if you will confess your sins, He will abundantly pardon. He will forgive you. And He will strengthen you. Thank Him for that grace and thank Him for that love. And if we can help you, we make the appeal of Jesus Christ. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?